This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guests are Goddard Police Chief Fred Ferris and Rose Hill Police Chief Nelson Mosley. Welcome to Issues 2019, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank
you. Nice to have you with us. I want to get an idea of your responsibilities, such as for each of you. How big an area do you serve? How many employees? I'll start with Chief Ferris. How big is your area?
The city of Goddard's just approaching 5,000 population. We have 13 sworn officers and 1 civilian staff.
Are they on there 24/7 out
yes,
there?
Yes, sir.
Somebody's out there. Oh, I didn't know that. And Chief Mosley, how about you over at Rose Hill?
Yes, we're slightly over 4,000 in our community. We're also 24/7 operation. Have 9 commissioned officers as well as 2 civilian staff.
Okay. Now, we're going to just jump in here and answer, if you will, when you want. But besides the geographic responsibilities, how does a small city law enforcement differ from a larger city?
Well, I have the perspective of both. I worked for Wichita Police Department for 29 and a half years, and now going on my 3rd year with Rose Hill. A lot of the differences come down to a lot of resources or resource availability. Chief Ferris and I were just talking about even just simple as applying for grants, where in Wichita you have a number of staff to do different things. When Rose Hill, I'm the guy that does those things. So slightly reduced staff. Yeah, even community policing, you know, our area, we police our entire community. Just like I said, it's over 4,000. Where Wichita is divided in geographic beats, which are, in essence, their community that they're police.
So you get to know just about everybody in town.
Yes.
Okay, Chief Ferris, what do you think? How about volume of calls, I imagine?
Yeah, ours are going – I mean, we've seen a steady increase. And I think the thing that's important to understand is that we see the same problems that a large city sees. It's just scope and scale, you know, where they're running call to call to call. We're seeing a lot of the same players. We see a lot of the same individuals that Chief Mosley and his officers see. I mean, it's a kind of a transient population, and we all have to deal with the same things. It's just a matter of how often we're dealing with
them. How are you actually dispatched to calls?
We have our own dispatch center.
Oh, you do?
Yes. For example, mine's in Butler County.
And we're all dispatched through Sedgwick County. All the agencies in Sedgwick County go through the same center.
Okay. Now, where do your employees come from? And how do you train them?
Well, same way. We are required to have our 40 hours annually. We send them to a variety of locations. We do in-house training. Particularly, I enjoy a pretty good budget as in regards to training to be able to send my folks a lot of places.
Chief Ferris?
If we're hiring in somebody that has no experience, our officers go to the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center up in Hutch. You know, a lot of times we are hiring people that come from other agencies, so they've already received that training. And then it's just a matter of getting their 40 hours in every year And I'm very fortunate as well to have a pretty good training budget. So we send people out and bring in instructors and things like that.
So do you think you're properly equipped? Got everything you need?
Well, we could always use more anytime, you know.
Need some more dogs or something like that.
You know, and we were just talking about that. For example, we're pretty good for being a small agency and having the equipment we need. But, you know, as we do, we hold on to things longer in a smaller agency just to make sure we get the most out of it. But pretty well, we're pretty well equipped, I know, for our agency.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I think we have all the same tools and equipment than any other agency has, and a lot of times probably more. I mean, even some of the
sometimes
big cities,
even better. Yeah.
We're fortunate we're not outfitting 300 or 400 officers. We're outfitting less than 20. So a lot of times we've got the advantage of being able to purchase equipment that maybe the bigger cities don't.
Do you have body cams?
Absolutely.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
okay.
We do.
Everybody's
well.
Got them?
Yes.
So how's that working out?
Working.
Tell me your opinion on that.
I like it. It's working pretty good for us. You know, we're in a time that demands being open and transparent. You know, we get requests for our footage as well, and we share that in our city.
Chief Ferris?
Yeah, I came from an agency that got into the body cam agents game pretty early, and I think it's, like Chief Mosley said, it's almost a necessity anymore. I mean, we have to have that. The public deserves it. I think it makes more professional officers when they know that their actions are being recorded and they have a tendency to conduct themselves a little bit more professionally. For me, it makes my job easy. When somebody calls to complain and makes accusations, all I got to do is watch the video, and 9 times out of 10, it takes care of that problem right there.
That's something that I heard from I've heard twice now from Gordon Ramsay, Wichita Police Chief. Says the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
You got somebody coming in there all steamed up, and all of a sudden,
yeah,
they walk away with a different attitude about it.
Then a lot of the times, it's not an issue.
Yeah.
So, any problem with storage on video and all that?
No, the system we just replaced our system about a year ago, and we built out the storage capacity really to allow us to grow into the future. So for us, it's been us replacing the entire system at one time. We had the ability to do that and make sure that we had that storage capacity. But it's a huge issue for a lot of agencies because that's a lot of data that you're trying to store. Also, when it comes to duplicating that and making that available through discovery requests, it's time consuming. I mean, some agencies have full-time staffs that do nothing but burn videos all day long. And we went with a system that allowed us just to email links, so we've kind of gotten out of the video burning business.
Chief Mosley talked about his 29 years with the Wichita Police Department. And tell us about your background a little bit, Chief Ferris.
I started off in Kansas City, Missouri, and spent about 6 years there, and then 22 years with Lenexa, and took this job. It'll be 2 years next week, I believe.
Why did you take the job?
It was just a great opportunity.
Because they gave you 3 times the money? Is that it?
I don't know. I'd say 3 times.
No?
No, not usually.
I don't think any of us are in this.
You're not for you. Yeah. It's kind of like broadcasting.
Yeah, right? It was just a really good opportunity. My kids are grown, and it was an opportunity to lead an agency, and I like the area, and everything just fit together perfectly.
Part of law enforcement, I know, is you have to spend some time in court. Do you guys do a lot of that? Do your people spend time in court?
Our people do.
Yeah, yeah. You don't.
But we don't.
If I'm going to court and something's definitely gone
something's
wrong.
Something's gone.
Okay. Describe for us a little bit the support that you get from city and county governments and sheriff's departments. Chief, mostly. First.
Okay. We enjoy a good relationship, not only in my county, Butler County, but also Sedgwick County. More than not, a lot of law enforcement agencies are working better. For example, I'm working with Andover Police Department a lot of times in discussing sharing resources. Why should both of us pay for this product when both of us can share it because we have the same need? So we enjoy a good relationship. I also enjoy a good relationship with our city government as well. I'm very fortunate to have a government that supports our police department as well as our community does.
How about in Goddard, Coach, or Chief Ferris?
I inherited a really great relationship with the community. The city government's been incredible to work with. I mean, we're a growing community with a lot on its plate right now, and they've been extremely supportive. We've got a huge school district, as you're probably aware, Goddard School District.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got a great relationship with that staff and the superintendent and share a lot of resources there. And then just generally the whole county. I mean, we have a Sedgwick County Chiefs and Sheriff Association, which actually really expands kind of the Wichita Metro because yes. Butler participates in that as well. So monthly the chiefs all get together and discuss issues and share resources, and we try to share as much as we possibly can.
Something really big comes up. You can always just make a quick call to the sheriff's department in each of your counties. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And they say, no, you're on your own.
No.
The thing I've heard of on these scanners over the years is if somebody's an officer in trouble, it's one of the most interesting calls you'll ever hear.
Yeah. Very much so.
Just about everybody in the world goes when
and
they
you
hear
see
that.
All the resources coming to
help. Everybody said, okay, somebody's in trouble, let's get over there.
Yes.
It's a good deal. How about the Highway Patrol? What's your relationship with the Kansas Highway Patrol?
We see them quite a bit just because of 400. And so
400, the highway.
Kellogg, yeah, Highway 400. Highway. We do see quite a few of the troopers out, especially with the motor vehicle enforcement teams that are out working the big trucks and things like that. But we have a great relationship with them as well.
You're off the beaten traffic.
We're a little bit off the beaten trail.
Yeah.
So I don't see them a whole lot. But when we do, I mean, we do training together. They've come down and done some sobriety training for us. So, but not a whole lot of interaction.
How about Kansas Bureau of Investigation? You guys get much contact with them?
Not, I don't in my small jurisdiction now.
Okay.
I had more so when I worked for Wichita.
Really?
Obviously, with the larger agency and some of the bigger issues or crimes that occurred.
What about in Goddard?
Not so much. I mean, we have an investigator ourselves, and we work with the county in Wichita quite a bit. And, you know, if it was something, a large-scale event, I'm sure KBI would be involved in that. But we just don't really see him that much in a metro area.
We have another guest with us. Dan Stalker's with us this morning. I don't know exactly what your job is, Dan, but tell us about this golf tournament coming up.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for the time today, and thanks, Officer Mosley and Officer Ferris, for coming in today. As a matter of fact, we do have the golf tournament coming up. It's the 2019 Kansas Association of Chiefs of Police Law Enforcement Valor Golf Tournament, August 9th, Newton, Kansas, Sand Creek Station. All proceeds go to benefit the families of fallen officers and officers who have gone above and beyond the call of duty. You can register for the tournament by going to www.valorgolf.com. We do have limited spots available, but we're more or less looking for sponsorships at this time.
Okay, give it again. How do we get in touch with
you? You can go to www.valorgolf.com.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for being with us this morning. You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations. And our guests are Goddard Police Chief Fred Ferris and Rose Hill Police Chief Nelson Mosley. So, looks to me like Kansas Chiefs of Police work together. Dan was talking about this organization. Talk about that a little bit, how you all interact and how you get to know each other.
Well, we have a conference annually that we go to as chiefs. It's a good opportunity to network. You know, Chief Ferris had mentioned Sedgwick County Chiefs, but the KACP is the state, and we have a much more interest and involvement of chiefs around the state. I enjoy those conferences that we have, the training that goes on that we get to enjoy, and I think this part of the golf tournament also supports training and efforts of our, you know, family of our fallen, things like that.
Do you have any new ideas, or are you the ones who always bring the new ideas?
That's why we're there together.
And it's always nice to get to pick up somebody else's brain.
And brainstorm together.
Chief Ferris, let's talk a little bit about something. Before we went on the air, you mentioned this, and I'd like to let you go ahead and talk about mental health. And now you're talking about mental health of the law enforcement officers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, tell me about that. What do you got?
Well, it's kind of an issue that the KACP's got quite a bit of focus on this upcoming year, especially with training and things. And I became aware of it after attending an international Chiefs Association symposium earlier this year and talking about resiliency and mental health. And I was kind of blown away by some of the statistics. I personally wasn't really aware of it. Just the sheer number of officers that are taking their own lives. In the last 3 years, it's been the leading cause of death amongst police officers. This year alone, we've had over 100 police officers nationally that have taken their own lives, and that's from Blue Help, which is one of the organizations that tracks that. 2018, there was almost 160 officers that took their own lives. And so we're trying to focus on some resiliency and training and stress management tactics for our members within the association through training and bringing in people at next year's conference. But it's something that I think a lot of us, for many, many years, we really didn't talk about it. It was kind of the unspoken thing in law enforcement. And what we've got to get chiefs and administrators and sheriffs to understand is that this is something we can talk about. This is, you know, mental health among police officers is something we absolutely have to discuss. The stresses of this job are greater today than any time I can ever remember in my career. The stresses from social media and the 24-hour news cycles and one mistake on one coast seems to affect us clear across to the other coast. And officers have got to understand that it's okay to talk about this stuff. So we're focusing on trying to bring in some more training on resiliency and stress management and just overall mental health to try to curb some of those numbers, because it's staggering.
Law enforcement officers, forgive me for an observation that I have, having dealt with them on several levels, you guys have a demeanor. You have to. You have to have that authoritative, I'm in charge and I'm strong. And that doesn't carry over at home, I guess, or maybe it shouldn't.
Well, sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, we're fixers by nature. I mean, we're called to fix problems. And sometimes cops just have to understand that they've got to know how to fix their own problems as well. And it's not always just home life. I mean, it can be just the stresses of the job, finance. I mean, there's so many things that go into kind of cumulative stress that gets piled onto their day-to-day job on top of that, that we have to have outlets for that and make sure that cops understand it's still okay to talk about these things.
I had a very good friend who was with the WPD for many, many years, a deputy chief, in fact, when he finally retired. And he told me, he says, Steve, he said, the thing you got to know about law enforcement, about being a police officer, is you never get to the bottom of the pile. You it's that's crime right. is here every day, and you just keep shoveling.
Yes,
and you
never exactly right.
You know, it's like, hey, we won today. It's always there. Yes. Go ahead, Nelson. You're well, nodding.
What? No, but again, you, like he said, you never. It's something else every day compiled on. And just like Chief Ferris said, you know, I remember when I started in '87. This was just something you just didn't talk about. It wasn't a topic. You know, as you said, we're the tough one. We go in and handle issues. But again, and I'm glad KCP is championing this, that it's a topic that we all need to discuss. And then make it okay to discuss for our officers to be open and frank about things that are going on in their lives.
But I saw some statistics the other day. You're talking about suicide. Suicide rates are up in this country for everybody. And I don't know what's behind it, but yeah. And you guys are feeling, you're feeling more stressed than the rest of us most of the time. You're out there on the front line. Now let's talk about mental health, because we've seen this in Wichita and Sedgwick County, and that is that there are people on the streets right now who don't belong out there, running around with mental health conditions, and they're compounding the fact with drugs, and you don't know who you're going to find out there. Yeah. Talk about confronting those who might have a mental problem.
Well, I know in Rose Hill, we're sending our officers to crisis intervention training, any training, because as you mentioned, you know, suicides are up. And the population that we have to deal with are dealing with mental issues are growing as well that our officers have to face. We go out and provide that training for our officers. Obviously, we try to talk to the individuals, making sure we can do that versus the latter of if it rises to an incident of a force that we have to do. So I know in my department it is I see a growing trend in our community as well, our small community, with issues of mental health. And I know our mission has been to make sure our officers are trained or at least have the resources to be able to deal with the issues they're confronted with.
Anything you want to comment on there, Chief?
Yeah, I think the thing we also want to point out, too, is that we often find ourselves in kind of a catch-22 where, again, we're the fixers and we're getting sent to deal with issues that don't necessarily rise to a criminal offense. Yet we're the ones that get called. And it seems like the resources are fewer and fewer. We've got less and less places to take folks. And Unfortunately, the jails in around the country end up being the place that where folks that really probably shouldn't be in jail are being warehoused, because there's just, quite frankly, isn't any place else to put them. So we've got to work, you know, with our community folks and make sure our officers are trained and have an understanding that this is kind of an epidemic problem.
Yeah.
And you mentioned just driving around the streets of Wichita and seeing people that really are struggling. You've got veterans out on the streets. You've got the people that have been wandering those streets for many years, and we have to deal with that. So making sure our cops have an understanding of how best to deal with them.
To each of you, what's the biggest crime challenge in your community? Chief Ferris, why don't you go on first on this one?
Yeah, for us being a suburban community, it's mostly property crimes, thefts, burglaries to cars, people leaving their cars unlocked and surprisingly having things stolen out of them in the middle of the night. We don't have a lot of the gang problems that you would see in more of the urban core or the inner city part of Wichita. So again, scope and scale, we see a lot of the same things, just not quite as frequently as maybe a beat officer in Wichita is going to see.
Chief Mosley?
We're probably close to Goddard in the same way, that the property crimes are our highest, thefts, stealing. We deal with homes left open, doors left open to vehicles, and it's because our small community thinks they're okay, mm-hmm. that it's the way it was. We're constantly educating our citizens not to do that as well.
So you've both seen In Cold Blood.
Yes.
Clutter family and the great line in there is people don't lock their doors.
No.
And they said they will tonight.
Yes. Yeah.
After the Clutters were burned.
That's
so,
exactly right.
So it's better to be safe than sorry. Are schools cooperating in education about crime? Getting help? You got any thoughts on that?
Yes, we have an SRO. I know.
Do you? School resource officer.
Yes.
Sure.
And our officer gets out there and educates, not only staff of the school, but kids. And it's all about interaction and just being able to go to a police officer and feel free to do so. So my SRO is building those relationships daily. And we enjoy a good relationship with our school district, working together on any issues. Any crime, we advise them. They let us know. So it's a two-way communication.
Chief Ferris, anything to add to
that? Yeah, in Goddard School District has its own police department. We have a great partnership with them. So we do work cases together quite a bit, keep each other informed. And then I also make sure that our officers are taking advantage of time to get into the schools. We attend their lockdown drills just so we've got a familiarity with those schools if something were to come up. Our officers work really well together and back each other in quite a bit of things.
I'm going to give you a chance to jump me, okay? Talking with Chief Ramsey the other day in Wichita, talking about the media and the fact that if a police officer does something wrong in Michigan, it gets on cable news, and all of a sudden everybody thinks all cops are bad. Any thoughts on that? I mean, media has a role. But sometimes, with the way it works, it can be challenging.
I think the thing I always ask is just make sure that we've got the facts. A lot of times stories are getting pushed out immediately before anybody really even knows the facts. And it might be a video clip. It might be a short video clip. There's always more to the story. And 29 years of doing this, I've learned there's always more to the story. all I would ever ask is that we have some patience and let the system work and let investigators do their job. And not all cops are bad. We're always going to have that very small percentage, just like in any other field. Preachers, doctors, lawyers, it doesn't make any difference. Everybody's got their bad apples. I think in law enforcement, we've done a really good job of weeding those out and making sure that we take care of those problems when we find them.
I can just tell you, Chief Mosley, I don't care about facts. I want to be first.
Yes. Listen.
I'm kidding, but did you have a comment there?
Well, and Chief Ramsey's correct. A lot of times, and sometimes it looks bad. It may look a lot worse, but as Chief Ferris said, wait for the facts and see what actually occurred. And then sometimes it's not as it appears. A lot of times a small clip is taken to be the old context of what is put out there.
So if you had it all to do over again, would you be a police officer?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are a lot of downside to it, but it seems like if you're dedicated and you know what you're doing.
Yes. Right. I love the job.
I think it's the best job in the world.
I agree.
Really?
Maybe next to broadcaster.
Well, Yeah, because we got all the high pay. You know something about this.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay. Listen, gentlemen, thank you so much for being
thank
with
you.
Us and looking at smaller communities and some similar problems you have as all the larger communities as well when it comes to law enforcement. We appreciate your time and just a note of appreciation that as a media person, I appreciate guys like you who really take it seriously. You're professional and you do your job. Then if you do your job and we do our job, everything should get along okay. Our guests are Goddard Police Chief Fred Ferris and Rose Hill Police Chief Nelson Mosley. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.